All right, guys, we're back. It's going to be a good one. Hey, 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 welcome to Ordinary Radicals, a podcast on discipleship and biblical living. We do conversations and Q&As on a wide variety of topics like leadership, discipleship, and mission. And it's going to be a great day today. Well, my guy, it's good to see you again. It has been, it was the year of our Lord, 1984, I think, the last time I saw you.
Yeah. Probably not that far, though. I think in June was the last time we kind of chit-chatted, talked about
this. You said 6 months, just not quite 6 months.
Well, June? Well, June is six. Oh, I guess so. Like, if you do, well, 5 months, I guess, something like that.
I have to pull off my shoes and count my toes to get that high, so... So we've had a lot of stuff going on.
Oh man, life's been busy.
Yeah, church is good, and things are going good. Family's growing up. Man, I feel like every time I see a picture of your family, because it's just like your kids are just sprouting. They're like weeds.
I know, it's like competition, man. You got four kids. I got four kids.
Yeah, but I'm older than you, so mine are a little bit bigger than yours.
That's true. You're the wise man.
In a competition, if it was like a wrestling match, we would win.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Okay, but I did MMA though, you know, so like, can I like take multiple of you guys at the same, but you're kind of...
I'm pretty good. I'm a big guy.
Yeah, you are.
I don't know, so...
I don't know, maybe Japanese judo move and karate chop head off? No? None of that?
That sounds very violent.
That does sound violent. I don't think pastors can do that. Maybe we should make a Twitter, you know, handler, like the pastors... MMA, wrestling, takedown. I'm sure there's a Twitter feed, like something like that. Handler.
What's Twitter?
Twitter? You don't use Twitter. You totally use Twitter.
I hardly ever use it. But oh, man. Anyway, so we got a good show for you today. And we are, you know, we're being lighthearted, but we have a serious issue we're going to talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And that issue, let's just call it church hurt. Church hurt. Mm-hmm. There's church hurt from the point of view of people in the church, and church hurt from other perspectives too.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times, I mean, like, hurt is something that we all go through. I think it's, you know, just obviously sin that kind of stems out of it. Mm-hmm. But I do think hurt in and of itself is not bad, but hurt can result and lead to other things. Mm-hmm. And I think that can be manifested in the churches, right? So people are very familiar with it.
Yeah, so I know whenever I was working towards planting a church, there was this idea that if I were to plant a new church, I'm probably going to be filled with people who were disenfranchised from other churches. Mm-hmm. And that was just something that I knew, or people that experienced church hurt. So maybe we should, what does church hurt look like? What does that look like? It's that experience of someone who loves the Lord, is going to church, and in some way they have an experience where they're disenfranchised, or they experience a mental, emotional, relational pain from being active in a church.
Yeah.
Right. And it's usually on the part of the church. The church did something, treated them wrong, scheduled them wrong, didn't listen to them, didn't care, didn't act like Jesus a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. That's where church hurt stems from, I think.
Yeah. And, you know, just kind of, you know, I think about like the process of thinking counseling wise, there's four steps to it. So like church hurt, a hurt can be just or unjust, right? And and that could, hurt can turn into, morph into anger. That's the second step, right? And people get upset, like, I shouldn't be treated in this way, and so forth, da-da-da-da-da. And they kind of dwell on that. And so we say church hurt, but I think like marriages. You know, I do marriage counseling and so forth, and their anger, they hold on to it, they abide and dwell in it, and that turns into bitterness. I think Hebrews 11 talks about that, and they become cynical, critical, and so forth. And eventually that turns into, I got to get back, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, and that comes out as revenge. Now, revenge could look two different ways. We talk about this like, what, fight or flight. You know, some people express it by blowing up, or some people go by flight by clamming up. You're tracking with me? So I think that's the way that, again, hurt, anger, bitterness, revenge goes in fight or flight, and that could be an aggression, or some way passive, and that could be like internally dwelling on it. So there's so many different ways that people go about it. I think biblically speaking, it should be another route, but a lot of times that's kind of manifested how I believe church hurt is.
Yeah, you just said a lot of stuff. That was very intelligent.
Oh, really?
I need to sit back and just meditate on all of that.
Dude, this is like your counseling degree stuff, man.
Yeah. Well, the first thing you, whenever you said bitterness, the first thing I thought is, I know I watched a VeggieTales on that one. The bitter root that gets in.
Oh, really?
You should see VeggieTales. It is top-notch psychology.
Oh, wow. Man, I was thinking about like the boogeyman, you know?
The boogeyman. Yeah. It's bigger than the boogeyman. Yeah, bigger than the... Yeah, I got you. Yeah, you're right. And so it can manifest as anger and things, but it can also manifest, and I think I see this more often, is people, they experience church, so they stop altogether. And in their spiritual growth, right, working out your religion, your faith with fear and trembling stagnates, and that's one of the worst things that can happen. Right, either you're being sanctified or you're not, and if you're not and you're stuck, what a mess to be in. Right.
Yeah. So, like Hebrews 11, I think it talks about, like, you know, as of for you, live in peace with one another, and do not let the root of bitterness take, because what happens, I think, like, again, root of bitterness, root, like I think about a tree and a root, and you know, what happens is that they soak within that, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I just think about in my own ministry, like, you know, like, what, 11, 12 years, whatever I've been in ministry, I think the moment that I have been weakest in my ministry is when I have rooted myself in anger, which is bitterness, and that's really not filled with Jesus, you know what I'm saying? So, like, in ways I say things I shouldn't say, I react in things I shouldn't. Now, even my attitude is pretty rotten because my roots are deep into that. And sadly, I think we don't biblically think through some of these things about hurt. And if we don't deal with it well, it can really get the best of you. Not only you, but also in your marriage, in your family. Right. And then that could be manifested in a church on a bigger scale.
Yeah, so if you aren't growing, you know, you talk about fruits of the spirit. There's also fruits of the flesh, and that's what you're naming, right? The fruits of the flesh. You've got the anger. You've got the bitterness. Also arrogance, pride. Mm-hmm. Those can set in too. And what a... You become spoiled fruit. It's spoiled fruit. Mm-hmm. And everyone, no one wants a bite out of spoiled fruit, and that can become your life. So let me ask you this. Let's say... you've been in ministry for a while. I started ministry back whenever it was black and white times, just so you know. It's been that long
ago. That's way back.
Yeah, it's been a minute. And I get people who come in and they've experienced church hurt, and it's like, how do I minister to them? How do I love them well? And that's something I'm always wondering and thinking about. So I wonder what would you say to that event?
Man, that's a great question. I think that's a $1 million question, because, like, I do think God gives us another path in that sense. And then, like, you know, it's kind of like the easy answer. It's kind of like, you know, I think you and I joke about this in the podcast, but it's like, you know, the answer is Jesus, isn't it? You know, it's kind of right. Like, you know, what is something that, you know, climbs up trees and has fluffy tails and eat nuts? I'm like, and kid was like, okay, Ben, go ahead. What is it? Wow. You know, it sounds like a squirrel, but we're in church, so it got to be Jesus, right?
Got to be Jesus.
Got to be Jesus. But really, like, when we think about that, right? Like, I mean, when I'm filled with Jesus in those moments and I can embody, emulate, and mimic Christ, I know easier said than done, right?
Right.
You know, that's where we need to preach the gospel to ourselves and to be rooted and grounded and coming back to that reality. When we do that, I think there's in surprising, even amazing ways that we're able to move forward, right? And that's kind of like the principle Paul talks about, put on Christ and put off the self. And I think, like, in this stage and age of my life, I think that's where scripture needs to come to reality. So when people come with a bunch of hurt, because a lot of times people are coming with hurt, you know, I do think in Christ we can get in a helpless culture and a hopeless world, like, we can embody Jesus, and we need to preach that, emulate that, to give that. But that may take time. It's not a, you know, thing that we overcome overnight. A lot of times people are carrying this like 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. So we can't expect that to overcome in one counseling session or something like that. But by God's grace and his help, I do think we can overcome. But we need to be reminded of who Jesus is. You know what I'm saying? What would you add to that?
You said earlier that there is different types of hurt. There is legitimate and illegitimate. So one of the things I have to realize is, with this person, is it a legitimate issue in that, did they leave a church because of a sin issue? Because of something that they didn't want to hear? I had a woman one time that left my church because I was talking to a man and a woman about having sex before marriage, and just I was giving them God's plan and how God's plan is not just better, it's healthier and it's more beautiful, and she was just not having it. She felt like I was judging her, and she left the church. You know, did I give her church hurt? Maybe. Was I doing anything against the Bible? Not really. I was just trying to, in a loving way, show her God's plan. And so I think as you talk to people, you do need to know, was it a legitimate issue that some other church had with them? Because there are people that just come in to stir the pot. And there are issues that, for my church, marriage, what does marriage look like? We have a clear picture of that. And we're not going to delineate that because we preach the Bible. We preach the Word of God. And so figure out if it's legitimate. Then, as I just said, I just continue to preach the Word of God. That way people won't have anger towards me, hopefully. They have to have it towards God. They have to have it toward, and you know, I've said this before, but if people want to argue with God, 100 times out of 100, they will lose, you know? So just preach the Word in season and out of season. That's kind of how I try to deal with those things. But yeah.
You know, I'm just thinking about this complexity as you're sharing, like, you know, in a sense, it's like revitalization, isn't it? Like we're trying to revive a church and help them and reform them back to God's Word. But, you know, and for instance, I'm thinking about this, like, let's say, like, you know, there was a hurt in the past of a church, like in their kind of existence. And it was like, okay, what happened there? What happened in, you know, in 2005? Like there was something that's significant that marked the church. And, but, you know, a lot of times what people do, because they're afraid it's going to bring up bad memories, they almost shove it under the carpet.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And, or they act like the big elephant doesn't exist in the room, but everybody knows. And sometimes, you know, as a shepherd, as a pastor, it's helpful to kind of navigate those conversations, because ignoring a pain and just putting a Band-Aid over a wound doesn't necessarily always, you know, heal up the wound in the right way. So sometimes revisiting some of these things, because they're afraid of bitterness and not really revisiting and talking about the sin of unforgiveness or sin of, you know, unrepentant sins, you know, those kind of things, you know, we do have to bring it up. And like you said, like whether marriage or, you know, wedding, you know, covenant of marriage or stuff like that, I think it's appropriate at times for us to bring up and talk about, hey, let's kind of revisit that part, that because it was hurtful. But for us to move forward, ignoring it's not going to help. You know, we can't be stuck in the past, in the present moment that we're in, that we can move towards the future.
Right.
So sometimes those hurt, it's helpful to bring it up. But to navigate as a shepherd, to help, you know, shepherd those people through those times. So at times it may be appropriate, you know, to bring up some of these things.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, to talk about it.
To sit and talk, yeah. I will say, as a pastor, the counseling side of things is very, you know, you guys who are pastors, you don't. It's just very time consuming as well.
Oh, yeah.
And so we have to pour a lot into that. And so there are many times where I say, hey, I'm qualified to sit with you for a few sessions and go over the Bible with you, but I may have to just tell you, you know, you've got some deeper issues that you need to work through with a certified counselor or something like that. Because you're right, the church hurt issue can go very, very deep. And, you know, putting a Band-Aid is not the best idea. Also, you might be able to revisit things because people may mature along the way. I remember a guy who was a pretty bad father, and kind of didn't want to do the church thing because him and his wife divorced, all this stuff. About 8 years after that, he finally was ready. And so then he went to counseling and was serious about it, started to deal with how he felt towards the church and how the church handled he felt like, but was way more mature about it this time around and could see where they were coming from a little bit. And so, yeah, you know, dealing with maturity and all of those things as well. Yeah, I'm totally with you.
Yeah, and you know, I'm thinking about, like, you know, there was this kid, all like, let's name him Charlie. You know, this kid.
Did he have a chocolate factory?
Oh, wow. That's a great movie, by the way.
No, sorry. Charlie. Okay.
But Charlie was always giving hard time, you know, like, you know, we have an academy and, you know, and this kid, you know, giving hard time, always getting in trouble and this. And we're wondering, like, what can we do? Why can't we help him? And this, we found out that, you know, Charlie had trouble growing up, a broken home with a dad who didn't love him and call him, you fool, you idiot, so forth. And, you know, what Charlie was trying to do was the only way that he knew how to get attention was to get in trouble. Mm-hmm. And that was a way that he was crying out loud. Mm-hmm. Please see me. I exist. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes, like, when people are wanting attention or people are kind of maybe, like, out of the norm, maybe there's something deep down that's going on. And, you know, sometimes we should be willing to just say, hey, what's going on? You know, like, you know, I know even with my kids, too, there's sometimes they're off. And I'm just like, are you having a bad day? Like, what's going on? And, you know, and only if we would listen. Wow, opportunity to kind of to open up and talk and revisit and pray and ask God to help us. And blessed be the God of all comfort who bless us. And God of all mercies, right? I think Corinthians talks about that. So for us to, you know, it's important for us to remember, like, you know, sometimes people hurt people, You know, we say those words. And, you know, sometimes, you know, even maybe a church, you know, somebody came from a church and been deeply hurt. Maybe there was a church split and that deeply wounded them as a teenager. And now as an adult, maturity can help kind of revisit and talk about, I was like, wow, I never knew how much it has affected me, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've kind of talked about a little bit of how we might handle someone that has church hurt that comes into our congregation. I have a couple other things I'm curious about. What might we tell someone who's listening? Let's say they're not a pastor. They stopped going to church, but they do the podcast thing. Mm-hmm. The podcast thing is their church, you know, as far as they think. So how would we talk to them about their hurt? Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm kind of thinking about that too.
Yeah. So obviously, like, so forgive me if I'm not answering your question, but I'm thinking, like, one thing that's important for me as a pastor, I think that I don't try to be Jesus to them. Yeah. I don't try to be the savior to them. I can't fix everybody's problem. I can't fix, but Jesus certainly can. Okay. And one of the things I do tell people too, those who are broken and hurt, like, my goodness, you got a place, you know. Mm-hmm. I often tell, you know, people that, you know, or churches are not a museum of the saints, but we're a hospital for sinners.
Right.
And my goodness, you have a place, you know, and you can fit right in. And just so you know, if you're looking for a perfect church, you're never going to find it, right? We're made a bunch of sinners, a bunch of broken people. Mm-hmm. But my goodness, we got a healer, a portion, a savior, a friend who we can call on to. And the church, we're trying the best we can. And yeah, people do hurt, you know, but my goodness, there's a place that you can find in God's word, in God's church and community. You know, try to plug in. But I get it why people leave the church after seeing so much politics being played. Mm-hmm. And drama, like, but my goodness, you know what? Hebrews 10, it says, like, do not neglect assembly believers. Like,
right.
Maybe for a season you can leave for a bit, but, like, leaving for 20, 30, 40 years, oh my goodness, you have a place. And I want to encourage you to find a church and ask God, pray that God will allow you to find a church to kind of plug in.
Yeah, I was speaking to a lady yesterday and I asked her, you know, I didn't know her church situation, so I always try to, you know, kind of work my way around to figure that out. And so she needed some help with something. I said, did your church help you? Were you able to do it? And she goes, I don't go to church. And I said, oh, okay. And she said, you know, I don't have to go to church to prove I believe in a God.
Mm.
Here's the deal. If I didn't fall into any of that. I just nodded and smiled.
Mm-hmm.
Look, if you're listening right now and you're not attending church because of hurt, you have to kind of weigh out What is more influential in your life? And I'm going to argue that being a part of a healthy church is one of the best things you could possibly have.
No doubt.
I will say there's a ton of unhealthy churches out there there's unhealthy people and there's pandemics and all kinds of things that go throughout any spiritual hospital. But there are healthy churches. And to be around people that are growing and flourishing and experiencing the Lord together and being sanctified together and people that value the edification of the saints and all that, like, we need that. Our spirit craves that. So if you're not attending because of church hurt, I would just encourage you just to try again. I have found that churches can be like counselors.
Mm-hmm.
everybody, would you agree that counseling is good?
Oh, yeah.
I agree that counseling is very good. But people always say, I went to a counselor and it didn't work for me. And my thought is, well, you went to the wrong counselor. You know what I mean? Like, there's different counselors out there. And churches can be like that, too. You may have to experience a couple of three before you find a nice, healthy church that is flourishing and where you can have a voice and you can become a covenant member, I hope, and have buy-in. Will it be perfect? No, there is no perfect churches. Mm-hmm. They want a judge-free church. There's no such thing as a judge-free church.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because as soon as you walk into any church, you're thinking, I like this foyer or I don't like this foyer. I like this paint. All right. We just naturally that's who we are naturally, mm-hmm. but we can experience Jesus together. And that's what it's really about. Mm-hmm. Celebrating Jesus and cultivating that in our lives.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think about the passage in Matthew chapter 5, I believe, where, you know, Jesus is speaking on the Sermon on the Mount. He says, you know, do not judge one another. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to, the log sticking out of your eye and taking out a speck of the brother's blood. Sure. Actually, a couple verses later, because he says right after, he's like, you hypocrite and so forth. He said, take out the log out of your own eye so you can take the speck out of your brother's eye.
Right.
So, whoa. So wait up. So it's saying that actually first take out your log out so you can take your brother's speck out. So we do are called to encourage one another, speak truth and love to one another. And if
exhortation.
Holding each other accountable, like, hey, the covenant of marriage says this and belongs to one man, one woman for a lifetime. Like, all those things are not judgmental, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, we need brothers and sisters who would speak truth and love, Ephesians 4:15, so that we will be aligned to God's word as Christ followers.
Yeah.
And it's hard, right, sometimes to hear truth and so forth. And again, we don't want to be judgmental people, like Christians shouldn't be, but man, we should be courageous people who would be boldly willing to speak in love. I heard this thing that said, like, so it says criticism with concern is constructive, but criticism without concern is combative.
Okay. Yeah. So it's all about concern.
Yeah. So, like, again, like at a church, like, out of concern, we should speak truth and love to one another.
Right.
And it's good. It's good for us. So, and it could be hurtful at times, some of the truth, because sometimes I don't want to hear it, you know, but my goodness, when they do it from humility and love and restoration, in a sense, to build the body up, wow, it's beautiful, isn't it? And in that sense, like, that hurt can be a good thing to build me towards more reliance on Jesus and to boldly live out the gospel, you know, and that's good stuff.
Yeah, that's really good. So, if someone comes to your church with church hurt, we talked about that. If you're listening right now with church hurt and you're a parishioner, depending on, you know, a congregant, we've talked about that. I got one more. I don't know if you have time for it or not.
Oh, yeah, let's go.
I was talking to someone who was telling me about their church hurt, and I told them, you know, people that come to church, some of you have this feeling of pain and things. I just wanted them to know, every pastor that I know, we learn to live with church hurt, because pastors are constantly under the public eye, because pastors are constantly wronged. And we experience a lot of pain and things like that. And it just becomes part of what it means to be in the pastorate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're a new pastor, if you're a seasoned pastor, you know exactly what I'm talking about right now.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that a little bit.
So, my goodness, a pastor recently talked about this, and it just kind of hit me. And forgive me, I wish it was original, but he said, you know, everybody lives in a glass house.
Yeah.
Some people live under the valley, in the valley. Some people have trees and leaves surrounding. For the pastor, their glass house is up on the hill.
Right. Yeah.
And wow. You know, he who is blameless, living in a glass house, mm-hmm. be the first one to throw the rock.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of hit me. I was like, wow, we all are the same.
Mm-hmm.
But we get it when somebody casts a stone. My goodness, it hurts.
Right.
You know, and I think that's the reason we can sympathize, right? Because God sympathized with us, with our pain.
Sure.
And I think that helps us actually to make us better pastors. The A.W. Tozer said this: it is doubtful that God can use a man greatly until he has wounded him deeply.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we get it in a sense, you know, like, and people are hurt too, and all sorts of stuff. We haven't even talked about forgiveness and the beauty of that and how we can break free from the hurt, anger, bitterness, and revenge that comes out in so many different ways.
Well, hang on to that. Let's go there. We can go there for sure. Because there may be someone listening like, wait, pastor's church, how does... I knew a pastor who, whenever it was one of my first ministries, and when he and I would go places, he would see people in Walmart or whatever and go, they used to go to our church.
Mm.
And they used to go to our church. And he had such disdain and such pain over this. And the thing was, these people would leave church without saying anything, and he never knew why. They were some of his best friends because we become great friends. And, you know, I know a pastor that says church is not like a family. It is a family. And whenever a family member leaves, it's like, and especially you don't know why. And so this is the kind of church hurt I'm talking about. The talking behind the back, the things like that. That's the stuff that as pastors, we kind of learn to live with.
Mm-hmm.
There are always people leaving.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. Now you said something about forgiveness. Forgiveness is hard when you're bitter.
Oh my goodness.
It's hard when you're bitter. Forgiveness is hard when you don't want to forgive. Whenever we hang, us pastors, we are supposed to be above reproach. Yes. But that's a very high mark. And, we are just normal humans.
We are.
We make mistakes. Uh-huh. We hang on to things. We fight our own battles, and sometimes we fight it in our own flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about forgiveness. Why do you think forgiveness is so powerful?
It's powerful, isn't it? Because I mean, you're reading Ephesians 4. It says, forgive one another as Christ is forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Goodness gracious. Sometimes you just want to rip that out. And it's like, oh, that doesn't apply. But my goodness, forgiveness is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is only by God's grace. Only Christ can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't do it on our own. I mean, fleshly speaking, we want to harbor on the unforgiveness.
Yeah.
And my goodness, in Christ, we're able to. Easier said than done. Trust me. I get
it. Yeah.
But that's the way that we move forward, right? By the power of the gospel and the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Now, it may be a journey,
mm-hmm.
really, but that's where we have to constantly surrender to Jesus. Let it go and trust him. Abide in him, look to Christ, and and I need to preach that every day to myself.
Every day.
Yeah.
Every day. You know, you remind me, we're going to go back to Christ over and over, but how Jesus says of the people that are crucifying him, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. I know that most people don't know how, and if you're listening, most people don't know how deeply they've wounded you. They just don't know. They don't know. And forgiveness is very powerful because, one, it allows us to release that that power and that control that person had over you that they may not even know they had over you. Because every time you thought about them, every time you focused on them, you're giving control to a certain thing that shouldn't have it. So when we can forgive and move on, we are being like Jesus. It goes back to being like Jesus over and over, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I think it's easier to, I use this as a sermon illustration, but like it's kind of putting a chain around somebody's neck. And then it's like, you remember you said that, you did that, and you know, and we think we have power, but actually what's happening is we are chained up as well.
Right.
To the other person. We're not able to move on. But there's something about powerful that when we let go by God's grace and we let the chain go, we're actually setting that person free and we're setting ourselves free.
Right.
And we're able to actually move on. And in fleshly speaking, we don't want to do that. We like to be in control.
Oh, yeah.
And we like to kind of hold on to things because we think that's authority and power.
Right.
But there's something extremely powerful and we can move on. And the root of bitterness doesn't get a hold of us. And actually, when forgiveness plays in, when we're hurt and we forgive, actually compassion and love comes. And we're able to move forward and to turn our cheek, right? And but again, you know, easier said than done. You know, I struggle with that. I don't know about you. I'm just being real, real transparent. But my goodness, by God's grace, we're able to do that. And we need to believe it. We need to live it. And we need to proclaim it. And we need to preach it. And we need to obey it and be transformed by it.
Yeah. So if I were to summarize everything we've talked about, as a church, we should start creating an atmosphere of health whereby people can be honest about how they feel and their experiences. We need to deal with those when in appropriate manners, acknowledging that sometimes counselors may need to be brought in. We should acknowledge that some people have experienced church hurt, but what they're calling church hurt is just really the fact that they won't repent, and that they are going to, and then their church hurt is against God himself. We've also acknowledged maybe there's some people listening that have went away from the church, and we're calling you back. Jesus is calling you back to a healthy church. Find a healthy church. And also some pastors, many pastors, we have maybe been ministering out of the flesh whenever we're living in our own pain. And we got to be more like Jesus and have compassion and turn the other cheek and love, which you've said constantly is way harder than it sounds because we're human, but we are still called to it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's what I've heard.
You're a great listener, which makes you a great counselor, a great pastor.
I don't know about all that, but I don't think I have anything else to say.
Yep. So again, you know, church hurts is a real thing. And it's okay. We don't have to deny it. Maybe we've been burying it for years, maybe decades. Maybe, you know, find somebody you can talk to, you know, talk about some of those hurt. You know, it's amazing how God brings healing through that when we start disclosing some of these things. And in surprising, amazing ways, God's grace starts covering us and, you know, allowing us to move forward. So I want to encourage you, you know, it's okay if you've been hurt. We've all been there. Got the t-shirt, got the hat, got the water bottle. And let Jesus start healing that through the church.
The bottle you got has water in it. Mine has something else. But anyway, hey guys, we hope you've enjoyed the show today. If you do, why don't you go and give us 5 stars, give us the likes, the checks, the everything else. It's been a minute since we've been able to record. Let us know that you would love us to do it more often. Force us to. We do live a good distance away from one another, but who knows what the future may hold. But yeah, Ordinary Radicals is brought to you here by Brandon and Jonathan, the docs at work. And we just love you guys and we really appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Ka-ching, ciao.
Ka-ching, eh?
Yeah, man.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye.